I begin tonight by asking you a question. What is the most important message that needs to be preached in our nation, in our day? And all of you believers will give the same answer, and it's the right answer. The most important message that needs to be preached is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we say that as believers, but there are in our society and in our nation many who don't believe this gospel and don't like church and don't like the Bible, and they'll say to us, as we say the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to be preached, they will say, but sure, that's old-fashioned. That old gospel that you are talking about is not needed anymore, because things have moved on. Humanity has moved on. And with higher education and our new subjective morality, which simply means we each subjectively decide ourselves what is right and wrong for ourselves. And we don't need a law. We just decide ourselves what is right and what is wrong. We have long passed the days of your old-fashioned gospel. Many would think that, don't they? And do think that in our society. I suggest if you think that you are past the days of the gospel and the gospel is no longer needed, and if you think that higher education and subjective morality has moved things on for the better, I suggest you're living in a fantasy world where you need to open your eyes. The society in which we live, people need to open their eyes and look at the way people truly are. And to think that we don't need the gospel anymore is to be absolutely living in a bubble, not in connection with reality. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still the most important message in the world, and it must be preached, and the proof is, to put it in secular terms, the proof is in sociology and anthropology. That proves sociology, the study of our society, and anthropology, the study of human beings, is the evidence that the gospel is still needed. Where has our education gotten us? Are people good now? Are they happy all the time through their subjective morality? Dream on. Look at reality. Last week alone, or the week before last alone, in West Belfast, in the area called Poglass, there were 7 suicides in 1 week. And that's normal. Things are not better. Why, if our subjective morality and our education is making a better world where people are better, why, I would ask anyone in our society, why do you bother locking your door tonight when you go in? Why do you have a police force? Oh, there's the truth, isn't it? The human condition is still the same as what it was 2,000 years ago. It hasn't changed at all. And human need is still the exact same, and the need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to preach a series to you over the next many months, whatever I'll be here, on the first Sunday evening of every month, God willing, on the gospel of Jesus Christ. But to start that series on the gospel and look at the true gospel that Christians believe, we first of all need to prove that it's needed. So tonight I want to talk to you about the human condition. The human condition. Here in Romans chapter 3 is the most succinct analysis of the state of mankind. The true state of mankind. The human condition. And I want to look at it tonight for this reason. It leads into the series on the gospel, but also it would be a terrible thing for anyone here or anyone listening on sermon audio, because you put your sermons up there. It would be a terrible thing for people to attend a church or listen to a message from the Bible and afterwards still be completely unaware of their true condition before God. To be unaware of their true standing, which was inherited at their birth before a holy God. Now, of course, many people will say, well, surely you're speaking very generally tonight, Pastor. You cannot analyze the human condition like that, because all people are different. We are all unique. Some people are religious people, and surely they are different from people that are not religious. And then some people are moral, and some are immoral. Some are law-abiding, and some are criminals. Some are godless pagans, and so on. Some are sodomites or gays, and some haven't the faintest clue even what they are. Surely the world would say to me and you and I tonight, surely all these people are different, then therefore they must have a different standing before God. Surely religion means something. Surely that makes a difference before God. Surely moral uprightness makes a difference before God. Well, the truth is it doesn't at all. Any standing that any of us have before God is nothing to do with anything that we have done, our works. And religion, let me tell you this, religion makes no difference whatsoever to anyone standing before Jehovah. And being moral and law-abiding makes no difference whatsoever to anyone standing before Jehovah God. Now, these things, of course, being religious or moral and law-abiding, they do give us a different standing in human society with one another, and just right too. But before God, the truth of the matter is this: we are all the same. All the same. You see, that was the problem of the Jews in the intertestamental period, and especially coming in the New Testament. They had been the recipients of God's blessing in the Old Testament. And coming into the New Testament because of that, taking it the wrong way, they had come, many of the Jews had come to think that because of their blessings, because of their the condescension of God towards them, they came to think that they were better than all other nations. We are the circumcision. We have the scriptures. We had the prophets. And who are those Gentiles? They're Gentile dogs, was the common term. In other words, they thought that because God had appeared to their forefathers, and because they had followed various religious traditions passed down by the elders and ceremonies, they thought that that somehow made a difference to their standing before God. But it did not. It didn't, and it doesn't. That's the story of the whole Bible. Now, here in this passage, we have a true analysis of the human condition of all mankind before God. Now, let me give you the points. Number one, there is a comparison, firstly, very briefly, between the religious person and the pagan. Then, secondly, there's the definition of that condition or the general diagnosis of the condition of every human being. And thirdly, for tonight, there are the symptoms and the proof of that condition before God. Firstly, we see in verse 9 a comparison of the religious and the pagan, the comparison in the verses between the Jew and the Gentile. And here is the true standing of both religious person and godless pagan before God. It says in verse 9, "What then?" As a Jew, the apostle is writing this, "What then? Are we better than they?" And what's his answer? No. In no wise, which means no way. In no way. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Whether you're a Jew, a religious person, or a Gentile, a godless pagan, it actually makes no difference whatsoever to your standing before God. Law-abiding, law-breaking, moral, immoral, the Bible's verdict on all human beings is exactly the same. They are all under sin, verse 9. And it does mean all. Religion, birth into a particular country, birth into a particular nation, birth into a particular sectarian divide, nationality, birth into a particular family. None of these things save anybody. They never did, and they still do not. All are under sin. Charles Hodge, the great theologian, says, "Are we Jews and Gentiles, men as sinners, protected from the justice of God? The answer is by no means." So our comparison in verse 9 between the religious person and the godless person shows that their standing before God is the same, the exact same. The second thing we're going to look at tonight is, what is their standing before God? The diagnosis in general terms, verses 10 to 12. We'll be singing it at the end. See what it says in verses 10 to 12. He just says they are all under sin. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." The diagnosis is all humanity is sinful. And the verses I've read are a direct quote from the Psalm number 14. Note, it says in verse 10 here, "There is none righteous." No one is naturally by birth right with God. None righteous. No, not one. It goes on in the next verse, verse 11, and says, "There is none that understandeth." No one by nature understands God. There's none that seeks after God, it says in the same verse. No one truly in their heart seeks the true God by nature. Verse 12. They are all religious, irreligious, moral, immoral. Doesn't matter. They are all gone out of the way. And that wee word "way" often appears in the New Testament. It means the way of life, the way laid down by God that human beings are to live. They are all gone out of the way. We've all failed at the way that God laid down. God ordained a way of holiness. This is the way, walk ye in it. But they have all gone out of the way. They are together, means the whole lot of them have become unprofitable. And it goes on and says, unprofitable, by the way, means worthless. All that they do is absolute rubbish. It's worthless before God. When it comes to righteousness, worthless, unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, it says, no, not one. No one does spiritual good that changes their standing before God. So what is the diagnosis of the human condition then in those three verses? By nature, men and women are not right with God. They don't understand God. They don't seek God. They don't want to obey God. They cannot do any good thing to earn a better standing before God. That is the biblical diagnosis of the human condition. That is what the Bible teaches. That is what's true. Any application? Oh, yes. We have a comparison, you see, so far tonight between the religious man or woman and the pagan man or woman. And their standing is the same before the Lord. But the diagnosis of their condition is that they are both in a state of sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. Professor John Murray, the late Professor John Murray, a great Bible teacher, says righteousness is the criteria by which sin is judged. And an absence of righteousness means the presence of sin. There's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says in verse 10. None. That means there is a presence of sin in everybody. Everyone. So all mankind is sinful. Now at this point, by way of illustration and application, the ungodly will say, if they ever listen to my sermon, they will say to you and I, oh, that's all very well, you saying that. Making a general statement that all people are sinful. But can you prove it? They'll say, can you prove it? Well, sadly, it is all too easy. Because verses 13 to 18 prove it, which is the third point. And it's irrefutable. The proof or the symptoms that humanity is in a state of sin. Let me read 13 to 18 again. With this in mind, here is the proof of the sinfulness of men and women. Think about these things and then think about the world you live in. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of bitterness and cursing. Cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There's all the proof you would ever need. A look at our society, a look at the world proves that humanity is under sin. Here's a list of particular manifestations of sin. The whole human race stands guilty and sinful before God. And the first proof, or the first symptom, is this. Examine the tongue. That's 13 and 14. Examine the tongue. The proof is this. Just listen to what they say. Their throat is an open sepulchre. The word sepulchre means grave. Open a grave. Go over to the tomb and open it up in the eastern countries. 4 months after the person is buried, push back the stone, stick your head in, and have a good sniff. But it's stinking, it's rotten, it's vile. The mouths of humans are just that before God. Their throat is an open sepulchre. Not because they haven't brushed their teeth, but because of the words they say. The words that come out of the mouths of human beings. Just listen to them in school. Listen to them on the streets. Listen to them in the pubs and on the TV. Listen to them playing football. Vile, rotten, filthy. With their tongues they've used deceit, the same verse. The vileness of human language is a proof that humans are sinful. The deceitfulness of humans in their words is a second proof of sin. A tongue that deceives. My, how could anyone deny that that is the favorite pastime of near enough everyone in our nation? Look at the politicians. Our last prime minister, you could pick any of them. Oh, we will leave the EU. We will uphold the referendum. Liar. Lie after lie after lie. With their tongues, they have used deceit. Sometimes salesmen, they come along and they try and sell you things and it all seems wonderful. What they say seems great. Read the small print. Isn't that what the warnings all are? Deceit, deceit, deceit. You deceive old people now on the internet. You go on the internet, you have to be very careful. You don't get tricked out of your bank account details. It's all here. This is what the Bible's talking about. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they use deceit. It's everywhere in our society. How could anyone say we don't need the gospel because we're not sinning? The person when we bought a house in Carrick years and years ago, was not a Christian. You know what they said to us? You need to be careful with solicitors. They tell lies continually. And on it goes, and that's true. But it's not just solicitors. But teachers and estate agents and bankers and prime ministers, all levels and strata of society, they can lie as easy as they can breathe. Naturally. With their tongues, they have used deceit. There's the evidence, it's all around us. Look at the newspaper. It's just one of the symptoms of sin, the human condition. Verse 13, the poison of asps is under their lips. The word asp means an adder, that type of snake, an adder that bites you, and it has a poison in it, but it usually doesn't kill you. But it brings severe pain and suffering for a prolonged period. The poison of an adder bite. Their lips are like getting bit by a snake that brings you pain and suffering. This is humanity. Listen to Charles Hodge. To inflict suffering is a delight to the malignant. This is a revelation of our true nature. Truly diabolical. End of quote. And that's no overstatement by Charles Hodge. There are many people in our society And you talk to them, and some people have an inferiority complex, and some have nervous disorders and eating disorders and emotional turbulence and don't feel very confident. And many, many times when you talk to people that are, they're wounded, but not physically. When you find out why, it's because some hateful things that were said to them many years ago by certain people. Some people take delight in making other people suffer in the way they use their tongue. It's like an adder bite. Pain and suffering is what they cause. And then we could continue on under the tongue as the proof of the sinful nature in humanity. Cursing, verse 14, whose mouth is full of bitterness and cursing. I hardly need to say a thing about that. In Carrickfergus, we went to a car mechanic. I went once, and that was the end of that. I never went back. Every sentence was a swear word. Go into the playground and schools and listen to the children. Cursing and bitterness. Cursing. Cursing and bitterness, yeah, that's what it says. Go on the bus, listen to people talking on the bus. Go to the children when you see them throwing stones. Tell them to stop throwing stones. What will you hear? Cursing and bitterness. Oh, the Bible's not out of date at all. The Bible's very up to date. By the way, the word bitterness means holding grudges. Not forgiving someone even though they've said, I made a mistake and I'm sorry. So, the proof that humanity is still under sin, the first proof is this. Look at the tongue. The second proof is, look at what the person does. Look at their lifestyle. That's verse 15. Examine the life. But one aspect of the life is emphasized here. Their feet, humanity, their feet are swift to shed blood. Violence and aggressiveness. Life is cheap. Swift to shed blood. It's the proof of a sinful nature. Why? I used to wonder why, and then it dawned on me. When I was in late teens, I wondered why when we drove through Banbridge outside the coach and the other inns where they have big discos on a Saturday night, why at closing time were there three and four police Land Rovers on? Are there still three or four police Land Rovers outside every nightclub waiting there? Why? Because we're nice, peaceful people, is that it? And we're all educated and we're better behaved now? Not a bit of it. Because we are swift to shed blood, even when we're having a good time. Why do we have a police force at all? Because humanity is swift to shed blood. And without them, without the police force, it'd be absolute anarchy. Why are so many people robbed and mugged and beaten, even pensioners? Because humanity is swift to shed blood. Am I proving the point? We live in an aggressive society and people have a sinful nature. Look at the way people drive. There's an aggressiveness, isn't there? Used to be, and I think, believe it's not getting better, I think it's getting worse, because when I was young, when you went across the road, and if you didn't see a car coming, the car would have braked and waved at you or pumped the horn and you could have rushed over. See now, most of the time, not saying all the time, most of the time if you accidentally go out on the road and there's a car coming, they don't slow down, they actually speed up. There's an aggressiveness that's even worse now than what it ever was before. Swift to shed blood. My rights and my this, that and the other. That's what has led to all that nonsense. The drivers in Northern Ireland kill more people every year per head of the population percentage-wise than any other country in Europe. We're easily the worst. People couldn't care less. They drive aggressively, and some Christians are no better. Listen, brethren, we cannot pretend to care about people's spiritual welfare if in our actions we have no regard for their physical welfare. It's a contradiction. The proof that humanity is under sin, check out the tongue, says Romans 3. Check out the violent lifestyle, says Romans 3. Thirdly, check out the destructive lifestyle, verse 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In their ways of life. Their way of life, that means. Destruction and misery are in the very way they live. The human race is destructive, isn't it? You wouldn't think this was written 2,000 years ago. You'd think it's as up to date as tomorrow's Belfast Telegraph. Everything the human race invents, it turns to destruction and misery. Everything. Medical knowledge is great, isn't it? It can be used for so much good, and it is used for so much good. But it is also turned to destroy. 300 abortions every day in the United Kingdom, euthanasia, sex change, cloning, experimentation now legally in the United Kingdom between human and animal embryos. Do you know that? UK was the first nation in the world to legally allow that. Because we're rotten as a nation. Medical knowledge can be turned to destruction and misery. Aeroplanes are a great thing. You don't have to spend weeks sailing all over the world if you want to go there. They're marvelous for the good of mankind. Yeah, but it doesn't stay there. Warplanes used to destroy. I'm not saying it's wrong to have an air force. I am by no means a pacifist. And if you know me, you know I'm no pacifist. I'm just pointing out tonight that whatever man invents or touches, he eventually twists it to destruction. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Man splits the atom. His intentions are good. Cheap power for everybody, except the cheap bit doesn't ever come. Sure it doesn't. They still charge you the same, but they're making more profit. Sea of coal helps stop from polluting the planet. All so wonderful. Yes, and then the atom bomb and nuclear warheads and destruction. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And space exploration. I love space exploration. It's wonderful. The knowledge and the things they can achieve. But it's not long, is it, after getting into space before they start talking about missile platforms up there. Star Wars, not the movie. The reality. Satellites circling the earth for the single purpose of destruction. Destruction and misery are in their ways, the Bible says. My application is this: everything that man has ever invented always begins with the greatest intentions, but he ends up using it to destroy other people. Destruction and misery are in their ways. It's in their way of life. Ships, warships, cars, tanks, cargo planes, bombers, and on it goes. Destruction. The human race is destructive. It's a sign of our sinful nature. But humans are even destructive in their personal life and their own entertainment. They love to smoke, some of them. Is that good for you? It's totally destructive. They like to get totally drunk over and over and over. Alcoholism. Is that good for you? No, it destroys your liver and your heart and your kidneys. It's destructive. Drugs. Is that good? This is their way. Destroys their mind, their thought patterns, their bodies. TV. TV's great. I like watching movies and stuff, but Dear me, some of those ads interspersed on cable TV every 10 minutes another, and they're so scatty, it breaks up your mind and makes you think in wee sound bites and scatty points, and you can't have a consistent logical conversation where one point leads to another. Immorality. In their ways, people's way of life proves they're sinners. They live like animals, their self-esteem suffers, the sexual diseases. The things that people even want to do as their entertainment are destructive. Because destruction and misery are in their ways, their way of life. It's right, isn't it? The proof that the human race stands sinful before God is in the tongue. It's in their violent lifestyles, it's in their destructive lifestyles, and it's in their turbulent lifestyles, verse 17. This is all in the chapter. The way of peace have they not known. They don't have peace. We can't live peacefully and content. Many people, they're in the house on their own, they have to turn the radio on or the TV on just to have some noise there. They can't have any peace because they can't live with themselves. They've never got over what has happened, or whatever it is annoys them. They can't have any peace at all. There has to be constant activity and noise and distraction from reality. The way of peace have they not known. Do you know that roughly every 6 months there are 1,200 wife-beating incidents in the city of Londonderry? You know that? 1,200 every 6 months, roughly. 7 a day. And that's only the ones the police are called to. The chief constable said many years ago, 99% of those incidents are connected with drink, alcohol. Police want reinforcements to deal with the wife beating. Now, nowadays, it's husband beating as well, because the women are all uppity. All these people are educated, aren't they? But the way of peace, even in their own homes, they have not known. Education cannot touch sin. Humanity is sinful. Irreverent lifestyles is another proof of the sinful nature. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. All these things are proof of sin, which moderns deny. No proper regard for God. They don't know any fear of God. No respect. Isn't that true? Look at the advertisements on the billboards coming up to Christmas. No room in the stable. Go to the inn. Smirnoff vodka. I'd like to see them doing that with Muhammad, wouldn't you? Three Budweiser beer caps upside down. The three crowns of the three kings coming to see the baby Jesus. I wonder what would happen to Budweiser if they did that, were making fun of Islam in that way. Their factory would be blown up and they'd be out of business within months, wouldn't it? Christians are a soft touch. And that's who they always pick on. Because there's no fear of God before their eyes. There's no respect in the human heart. They're not afraid of God. That is the last proof of a society under sin. I conclude for tonight. I think I've proven there is a need for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached. The human condition is always the same. It has not changed in our standing before God. We are all the same. The comparison, firstly, we have looked at of the religious person and the pagan. Both are the same. Unrighteous before God. The diagnosis of their standing, they are all under sin in every area. None righteous, no, not one. And thirdly, the proof or the symptoms of the sinful condition of mankind. The proof isn't what they say. The proof is in our society, what people say, their lifestyle of violence, their aggressive attitudes, their destructive lifestyles, their turbulent lifestyles, and their irreverent lifestyles. There's the proof. These are biblical facts. Whether people are religious or not, their standing before God is sinful, in sin. And the proofs of that sinfulness are obvious for all to see. Indeed, in our society, I would say our society perfectly embodies these symptoms of sinfulness from Romans 3. And that means that before God, the United Kingdom is absolutely rotten. And before God, it stinks like an open grave. Our society needs to hear the message of the gospel. It does not need to hear a message of smile, Jesus loves you all. It needs to hear of an incensed God upon his throne who will come and he will punish every single sin. Everyone. Because conviction of sin is the need of the day. Because without conviction of sin, no one will see their need of the gospel. Why would you need forgiveness if you don't believe in sin? God's law, God's standard, is the need of the day. I give you another quote from Charles Hodge. The prevalence of crime among men is legitimate proof that the race is apostate. Though every man is not a shedder of blood, or guilty of robbery and violence, but the human race is apostate. We are all under sin. Sin is the human condition. I began with the question, what's the most important message we need to preach in our society? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this, it's not old-fashioned. It's right up to date. Higher education has made no difference to human beings and their sinfulness. The new morality has made human beings even worse in their sinfulness. Subjective morality has led to rampant sin and crime. That's why we lock our door at night. Sin is the problem. The gospel is the answer, and it's very, very relevant in 2019. Amen. Thanks for your attention this evening, brethren. The Lord bless you.